You are listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Make sure to subscribe to never miss any Pursuit of Manliness content and join our Pursuit of Manliness community at facebook.com/groups/Pursuit of Manliness. I want to welcome Dr. Brooks Tiller to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Brother, man, I can't thank you enough for making time today. I've been looking forward to this for many days now. Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. Thanks so much for having me. Here we go, man. We're in the middle of all this craziness, but you know, that's the thing is, as a man, we can turn a crazy opportunity. We can turn a crazy bad time, if you will, into an opportunity.
Well, man, I as we talked just a minute ago, our paths have crossed probably for 2 years now. I don't know the exact number, but essentially through social media and things. And what you do it all. You are the Swiss Army knife of America. So would you just give our listeners, if they say, man, I don't know who this guy is, would you just give us a rundown of who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that's probably a great compliment. I like to tell people, a buddy of mine, he said, if you took John Baptist and John Rambo and they had a mutual grandson that married the daughter of like Barnum and Bailey circus, that would be me. And I'm a physical therapist by trade. I grew up in the woods hunting and fishing with my dad and my granddad. And after playing baseball collegiately and everything, I went on to physical therapy school. I had my doctorate in physical therapy. From there, I started working with the elite of the elite, military, Olympic level, professional level athletes, and just doing all that stuff. That was kind of like the dream. If you can't be a professional athlete, then work with them. And in that, I took a few positions at some, pretty much backcountry clinics in other places. I started working with some folks, and some of the ones I really loved working with were the outdoorsman. Like the guy came in, man, my shoulder hurts and I want to be able to shoot my bow. Or, old grandpa, like, man, I had a stroke, but I want to go fishing with my grandkids. And started working with them. And I was like, these are the guys I want to work with. And in that as well, I met my wife, and we actually went to China for a while, worked with Olympic athletes over there. When we came back, we decided we're going to Nashville. We're both from Tennessee. We just like, we'll go to Nashville and settled in there. She started a circus company, which now it's one of the biggest circus companies in the country. But when there's no events happening, there's no circus to be had. So right now, it's just like, we're kind of in that holding pattern, knowing that whenever Nashville booms back up and gets ready, we're going to have events again. But so we have a circus company. I'm a physical therapist. I'm a strength coach. We've got two little kids. And I spend as much time as I can in the woods or on the water hunting and fishing. And, we don't need meat. We pretty much all the meat that we eat comes from what I hunt, what I fish, and the whole family gets involved. So it's a great opportunity, and it's just a blessing to be able to do that and just help others and guide others to not only how to hunt and fish, but how to live a healthier lifestyle.
One thing you left off there, because it earned me some dad street cred this morning, was my 7-year-old found out that you are an American Ninja Warrior, and just the unbelievable skill and talent it takes to get on that show. So we watched a clip of that. So I told him, hey, I'm gonna talk to a guy that's on the show, and he just thought that was so cool. And I said, you want to say hi to him? And he said no, because he's an introverted like his father. But he said, maybe tomorrow. And I said, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's today or no days. So he missed out. He's doing Zoom call at his school or class or something right now. But yeah. And so your life is, a physical therapist, you're in and out and you're hunting. So right now, while we're recording this, it's April 2020. We're in the thick of the coronavirus. I don't know where we're at with the curve at this point, but what's your life like right now? The circus is canceled. So what are you doing? How do you manage both sides of that?
Yeah. So, I mean, all the circus stuff is canceled right now. So, and we've actually kind of boosted up some home projects, if you will, because my wife is normally gone 2 to 3 days a week. And then I normally work as a physical therapist a couple days a week. And we kind of manage that. I'll be like, well, these are the days that she has gigs. These are the days I'm working. And that way we're at home as much as possible, 2 or 3 days together 2 or 3 days. You know, each one of us kind of has the kids as a single, you know, like, you know, stay at home, if you will. So we're managing that. But right now there's no circus, and a lot of therapy places are actually calling me up wanting more work because this guy has a heart trouble and his doctor said, take off till June. Or this lady, you know, has some health issues and her doctor told her to take off for a month. So people are calling me up. Hey, can you work? Can you work? Can you work? But at the same time, you know, I want to limit my exposure. So I'm trying to mitigate that and be smart about it. But in all this, it's interesting. I was at the nursing home the other day and a nurse said, man, I went to Walmart and they're out of meat. And, you know, I was like, I didn't even know Walmart was out of meat. Like the last time I went to the store to get anything, I walked by the sporting good aisle and there was a lot of shotgun shells and no toilet paper. So my, you know, I took a picture. Like I told you, my friend, I was like, hey, like I, you know, there's a lot of shotgun shells and no toilet paper. I was like, there's no toilet paper here, but if I need it, I think we know how to get it, you know, just jokingly. But it's one of those things where right now I'm just in the midst of the healthcare system with all this coronavirus, but also making sure that my family's taken care of and provided for. And I guess it's like Warren Buffett says, when other people are fearful, be greedy. And so I'm like, I'm going to go make the money I can right now. But I'm also making sure I take time for myself to get up in the morning and do my thing, you know, get outside when the sun's coming up and run around a little bit and just get some exercise in so that I'm healthy and fit. And also set that example for my kids, for my wife to just stay active and stay upbeat and stay positive through all of this and not stress and strain them about all the worries of all the craziness that's going on in the world. But knowing like, hey, you know what? Like if they don't have meat at the store, I got a freezer full. And if something happens and we're 6 months down the road and there's still no meat, you know, I saw the other day that Smithfield or somebody, and they provide like 5% of the meat for the country. By the way, they're a Chinese owned company, but they you know, they're saying they're shutting down a lot of their stuff. So 5% of the meat that we normally find in the stores is going to be gone. You know, if this carries on, I'm abiding by the rules and the laws of the land. Well, when it comes to feeding my family, sometimes you have to maybe that may go higher than the laws of the land. And so, you know, it's one of those things I told my dad. I was like, I think we know where to get meat if we have to. You know, if we run out of meat, there's no meat in the store, we know how to go get it. And that's one of the things I've just tried to, I guess, reiterate to my friends and my family is checking in on them. Hey, what do you need? You know, if you need meat, let me know. I can drop some at your doorstep. And right now, that's where we're at. You know, we're just making sure, and I'm, as a man, trying to make sure my family's taken care of, making sure that they're living life as normal as possible. They're enjoying life, that we're getting outside, we're laughing, we're playing, we're having fun, and that they're not realizing and they're not knowing all the craziness that's going outside and outside of our scope right now, that, you know, there's no need for them to worry about those things because you take care of what's in front of you, and that's all you need to really worry about. I mean, I'm not going to call the stock market. I'm not calling the president. They're not returning my calls. So there's no point in me trying to call them and tell them what I think. So why should I worry about what they're doing, you know, on a daily basis? I mean, yeah, there's things to, you know, like we say, be aware of what's going on, but don't stress and worry about it because, you know, they do the press conference. Great. You know, okay, good deal. You told me the numbers. You told me what you thought, and you may be telling me what you think I want to hear, but my thing is, what can I do right now? What can I control? Let me control that. Let me take care of it. And then those things that are outside, I'll handle those if they come at me.
Amen, brother. I think, you know, I'm not trying to be ignorant to the events going on around the world. I think I'm aware of them. I'm not living by them. I get an alert every day. I don't know why. The Weather Channel lets me know that the president's going to go on and talk about the coronavirus. And because I track weather and stuff, but I think I haven't watched one of those for quite some time. If there's something pressing, you know, the church where I serve, I have elders, they'll let me know if something happened, if the governor said something, but it's not really affecting day in, day out life. It's not affecting really our conversation. We're aware of it, but you got to live your life. And I think the interesting thing about this, the season we're in right now is, you know, the self isolate or all the words that were quarantine, all these words we never thought we would use in America. We're using them, you know, almost like second nature. And what's happening is everybody's running indoors to hide. Yeah. And not everybody, but a lot of people, a vast majority are running indoors, and we're locking ourselves in because you are to self-isolate. You are to, in any season, flu season, whatever season, being indoors all the time is how you get sick. It's how that happens. And it's how you get depressed. And when you get sick, depressed, or have too much time on your hands, destruction will follow, whether it's physical or spiritual, emotional, whatever. We got to get people back outside. You got to get them outside where life is. I'm watching birds. They don't care. The birds are droppings on my car all the time. They could care less what's going on. How do we get people back outside? Even if you're not a hunter or not doing that, we'll get to hunting in a second, but
yeah,
just get outside, man. Like,
yeah,
life is happening out there.
Exactly. And so I told my wife the other day, I wanted a shirt that said social distancing runner up. Because only the Sasquatch is better than me because he's never been found. And, you know, it's one of those things like, and like I'm outside, you know, if I'm turkey hunting, if I'm fishing, even if I'm with, you know, a cousin, my dad, whoever it is, like we can still do our social distancing, keep our 6 feet or whatever. Hey, I'll sit behind you about 10 feet and call a turkey. You shoot it, you know, like that kind of thing. But, you know, getting outside is so important, whether it's just, I mean, especially right now when we're at home. And like I said, I've done a lot of working from home as a writer for outdoor media and things like that. And for me, it's really important. I get up and one of the first things I do is I chug a big thing of water. I've got a huge mason jar. I just chug that mason jar full of water. It's about room temperature. And then I go outside. Whether, you know, the sun's coming up, if it's raining, if it's middle of winter, if it's summertime, it doesn't matter. I go outside for like 5 minutes, just try to walk. And getting that sunshine on you first thing in the morning, your body's like, okay, here is the day. Let's do this. And you get that upbeat because you're getting the vitamin D, and I like to call it the vitamin N, the nature vitamin. You're getting out there and you're just, even if it's in your backyard, if you're in the big city and you're in a complex and you're in a high rise, just step out on your balcony and look at the sunshine, let the sun hit you for 5 minutes, whatever it may be. You do what you can where you are with what you have. And I don't care if it's fitness, if it's, you know, if it's your mental health, if it's your spiritual health, you do what you can where you are right now. And that's all you can do. That's all you can handle is doing what you can. And I think it's taking that control. It's like, do you have that first 10 minutes of your day? You have control of that. Get up, get some water, get your body rehydrated, and get outside and get that, just get yourself moving outside and move around, do jumping jacks, take a walk, whatever it is. When you're outside, you just feel better. I mean, it's a natural thing for us to be outside.
I agree. I tell the story that, you know, I think it was about a year ago, and just had a lot of things on my plate and stuff, but struggling, you know, for creativity, pursuit of manliness, church stuff, whatever. And we just, I took a trip to a local state park, not far from here. And my wife loves hiking. And I at that time could have cared less about hiking because I thought I can walk anywhere. I'm not going to prove that out with some sticks. And so I tell that story because when we went hiking, it was a game changer for us as a family. It was a game changer for us for the health of our soul, you know, and for us, that has become just part of who we are. And so we talk about that. Like, you got to find your trail. You got to find your trail wherever you're at. And if you're living in an apartment building and you're like, man, this stinks. I can't, you know, I'm stuck here. I got, you know, you could find your trail as brief as it is, wherever you are at, as you talk about, do the best you can with what you got, you know, in the moment, you know, drinking the water, getting some sun, whatever it is, that's a game changer to start the day and go, hey, how I start the day will be will set the tone for how we're going to go throughout this day and will not be a lack of effort. You talk about, you know, just the need for health though. You're a doctor, you're a physical therapist. You understand that the body can't live on cupcakes and Hostess and licorice. And some of these people are eating their quarantine food in 3 days.
Yeah.
So you go to the store, you say, what's essential? Well, it's ice cream and chocolate. And that's going to ruin you internally though. And listen, by the time someone listens to this, this coronavirus could be long gone, but it will not be the last thing that we encounter on this planet. So what do you do with that? So we're going to get somebody outside. What's the next step? We're talking about our actual internal physical health before we ever get to shooting an animal or anything like that.
Yeah. I mean, and back to the whole getting outside thing, we look at Jesus. How many times do we see that Jesus got up early in the morning and went to the mountain, went to the wilderness, and just, And once again, when you're out there, it's a mental thing. You know, like, oh, you, the stress, the worry of what's going on in the world. When you're, you know, when you're getting outside, you're getting that, you're, it's that feeding of the mind, that mental, like you can just breathe. You hear the birds singing, like, man, I never realized birds singing. And we're seeing now in other places, and I think that they're showing pictures of where people have not been outside and how much the water's cleaner and there's more animals running around. It's like, yeah, you, yeah, like, this is the way the world's supposed to work. This is the way God made it. Like, we are just a part of it. We are not the center of it. But, you know, back to the question of how to feed ourselves. And we talk about feeding our soul, feeding our mind, but our body is one of those things that we often lack, you know. And one of the things that probably bothers me the most is when I'm at a worship service and somebody says, oh, we're going to go buffet our body at the, you know, I'm like, no, that's not what it says. It says buffet, not, there's a big difference. And, you know, and the thing is, so we want to feed our body, but the thing is, you want to make sure that you're getting the quality nutrients. You want to get the good things. And if you're in a time of crisis where you just, I just have to have a calories, then yeah, I mean, you're like, all right, I just got to have calories to make sure I get back home, whatever's going on. Kind of the, you know, one of those zombie movies where the guy's just after the Twinkies, like, you're going to get calories and you need calories at some point. If you're like, well, I just need calories to get home, that's there's an emergency situation. But right now we have that option. We can go, we can get high quality food, whether it's, you know, beans and it's rice. Now, while those things may not be the best, they are better than ice creams and cupcakes. And so you want to eliminate or minimize your sugars and make sure that you're getting the protein you need. Protein is going to build muscle and it's going to maintain your muscle. Good, solid, healthy fats, they're going to make sure your hormone levels, the fats is what makes your hormones. So your hormones are going to be up and the way they're supposed to. Once again, that whole feeling bad and your depression and all that, a lot of that comes back to your hormones being out of whack. So your hormones are off. You want to make sure your hormones are intact and doing what they're supposed to be doing and running at an optimal level. So I look at optimal, like I'm want to be optimal. I want to be as fit and healthy and as I can be at an optimal level. I'm going to be my best, whether, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, as a husband, as a father, I want to be my best. And you can't compare yourself to The Rock. And right now, you know, in quarantine, The Rock, you know, he'll show you a video. And I think he even said, I'm not showing you videos of my workouts, because he's trying to be, you know, thoughtful of others, I guess, because he's got an awesome gym at his house where he can just do what he wants to do. But we may not have that. But at the same time, we can do what we can. You can do push-ups. You can do squats. You can, you know, crawl around like a crazy animal, which I love doing. Like, if you have kids, crawl around like a monkey, like an ape, like a bear, and you're going to have a workout. Just doing those kind of things. There's tons of workouts on YouTube. You know, I train guys, mainly guys, and they're getting ready for hunts, but I train guys online. And now, like, we're having to shift things. I'm like, well, you know, do you have a backpack? Do you have, what can you use? But that's one of the things we have to do, is make sure, train our bodies, but also feed our bodies. You know, get the protein, get the good, healthy fats, cut down on the sugars. And in that, our body can actually live with less, and we were able to do more with less. And that's really what, you know, in the situation like we're in right now, it's like, oh, you know, how did our ancestors survive 400, 600, 1,000 years ago when we didn't have the grocery store to go to? You know, like, well, you had to figure out, like, okay, I'm going to have, there's a pile of meat there, and that may be all I have for the week. So how am I going to make that last? You know, and how can I, fasting is another great thing. So, hey, you know, we talk about it as a spiritual discipline, but also it's great for our body. Our body, when we're fasting, if you don't eat for a little while, your body's able to clean out. Your body is only not worried about, oh, let me digest all this food. Your body is able to clean out all the junk, all those nasty cells that could be cancerous or whatever it is. You know, they're able to, body's like, ah, let me get rid of all this. And so it's just one of those things. I think it's just taking a good approach, stepping back and be like, all right, what is the best thing I can do right now, and it's not going to get Twinkies. You know, it's getting the good, healthy things that you can get. Nothing against Twinkies now, but, you know.
Well, I'm a fan of Twinkies and sweet tea. Yeah. And actually, a little bit ago, my allergies for some reason today are acting up. And when that happens, a lot of times I'll drink a Pepsi. And I told my wife, I said, I cannot drink a Pepsi when I'm on a podcast interview with the Healthy Hunter. I mean, I just can't be swigging it. So, but no, you're right. We're talking about ultimately in this, and we're building a case here. We're talking about you can drink water. What can you control? You can drink water. You can get outside. You can pursue. This is any season of life, because when men start to get depressed, we talk about head on a swivel. Are you vulnerable relationally, spiritually, emotionally, financially? That's when you're going to be under attack. And so keeping that head on the swivel, what can I control? And when Peter talks about this in 2 Peter 1, the word is self-control. It literally means to get a grip on yourself, to have a hold of yourself, that your passions, your desires, your emotions, et cetera, don't come out of you in a way that negatively affects you and the people that depend on you the most. And so you're talking about, think about what you're putting into your body. Think about what you're digesting. Whether you're, you know, whatever. I think about Cameron Haynes. He was the first one that I saw that would, you know, run with this giant, you know, rock on it. You're like, how's he doing that? It is one step at a time. He didn't start out that first day picking up a giant boulder. It's, what do I really want? And in this season, and we're talking right now in the season where we have been given this gift of time in a unique way, and you can really reset and reevaluate and go, what's the trajectory of my life? Yeah. And so one of the things I've learned, you know, we're talking about, you know, getting outdoors and stuff. There's nothing healthier than getting your own food. There's nothing healthier, because the mindset has been, well, the store's always going to have food. Well, you talked about a company that says we're shutting down operation. I saw a guy somewhere that bought, what was it, a ridiculous amount of meat just because he was greedy and bought all the meat in the freezer. Some lady coughed on all the food in, you know, in a deli part. You know, there's some irrational things happening. So you say, okay, if the grid goes down, and I'm not trying to be fearful, I'm trying to be proactive. If something were to happen and we need to eat, what could I do? So this health thing that you're building really does help you in many ways, mentally and physically, if you go to get food. So walk us through that. What's your mentality? Why is that so valuable? And what's the healthy element to that?
My total mentality, my total mentality is really, I want to be harder to kill. I want it to be where I am hard to kill. Like it's going to be, you're going to have to fight to the death to kill me, whether you are a virus or you're an intruder into my home. Like one of us is not leaving here walking. That's really what I'm looking at. And, you know, and being healthy right now, we see this coronavirus, and if it gets into someone that's healthy, a lot of times they're saying you test positive and you didn't even know you had it. And one of those things is because you're healthy. And in our family, we have a thing, and for Tiller, for our last name, the T, I tell them it stands for tougher than life. Because whatever life's going to throw at you, you have to be tougher than whatever life's going to throw at you to survive and to thrive in this world. And when it comes to the health aspect, you just have to make sure that you're ready, that you can go out and get your food, that you can go out and do what you need to do. And that doesn't mean that you're going to need to, like, you know, that you're going to have to go do it all by yourself, that you're going to have to do it, you know, and that band of brothers that we talk about a lot of times, getting out in the woods, going through a challenge, that band of brothers is going to grow so much stronger and better. And you're going to learn from them. You're going to see guys at a different point and a different viewpoint if you're out there in the woods struggling together, you know. And even right now, but like right now, you know, have that confidence of, I don't need to go to the store. You're going to have that extra confidence. I can take care of my family if this happens. And we always talk about, you know, a friend of mine a while back, it was almost 2 years to the day, the show shutdown thing. We were taking a trip to a charity event in Idaho. And he said, what would you do if, you know, North Korea sent an EMP and the whole grid was shut down? What would you do? And I kind of explained a little bit. He's like, no. He's like, go completely in depth, you know? And so for like an hour, like I'm telling him, here's what I'm doing. Here's where I'm going. Here's what's happening. You know, it's like, I'm going to this small town that I know, and I'm going here. And because there's only like two ways in and out, like, you know, we can make sure what's going on and everybody there will come together. We can hunt, we can grow food. And it's funny. And like all this stuff starts happening, you know, and it's like, this is more real then you really can think about it. And, you know, and we see that it was comic books. There's movies all about like what happens if the grid goes down and the world comes to an end. But really it comes down to, you know, who can you trust? Who can you rely on? And you want to make sure that others can rely on you and trust in you, and that you are healthy. You're harder to kill, so that you are able to protect them and provide for them and take care of them. And I think that's really where we're at right now, is just, you know, look at yourself and find those weaknesses. You know, like I'm about 6'3", 210. So you're talking about American Ninja Warrior, like I'm a big guy. And a lot of people are like, the guy that went after you is like 5'8", 110. Like do you feel a disadvantage? I was like, no, because I don't need the trampoline to grab the next thing. He's got to jump. And I'm like, well, I can just reach up and grab it. So I think we find in ourself the benefit of, you know, where we are, of what are the things that I know? How can I be more valuable? How can I do better? And then we find the things that maybe we are lacking in. And in that band of brothers, we can find somebody that's like, well, I don't know how to hunt, but I do know, you know, how to do taxes, and I do know how to invest money. Well, maybe I find the guy at church who likes to hunt, but he knows nothing about his taxes and how to invest money, and we can swap off, you know, or whatever it may be. And so I think there's a great thing there of just, when it comes to the health and fitness side, if you know somebody who knows how to work out, or you can connect with someone who knows how to be healthy and fit and knows how to live life to the fullest and be their best, then you find that and you kind of pour into each other. And it may have been a roundabout your question, but I think that's really what I'm thinking about right now through this whole thing, is just finding other people like you. I mean, you're pouring into the word other people, and you're encouraging them and encouraging them to be better, and giving them the confidence like, hey, God says it's going to be okay. It will be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. And you know, like you talk about, like in 1 Corinthians, where, you know, be vigilant, be strong, be courageous, be brave, like all those things right now. And if for me, I think about, you be strong. It's, you know, mentally, physically, spiritually, brave, mentally, spiritually, physically. Like, you have to do those things sometimes that are tough, that are hard, that you don't want to do. And if you do a hard thing now, say get up 5 minutes earlier and just go outside and try to run for 5 minutes, or do jumping jacks or burpees for a couple minutes. Later in the day, when that guy cuts you off in traffic, or there's that little time you're like, man, like, okay, like, I can tell that I'm getting on my wife's nerves. She's like ready to kill me, but there's nothing I can do. Like, at least I'm not doing burpees right now, or at least I'm not taking a cold shower. You know, take a cold shower in the morning. You're like, well, at least I'm not taking a cold shower. You know, like, okay, I don't have everything I want right here. I'm not able to do everything I want, but at least I'm not in a cold shower. So doing those tough things makes the tough times later. You know, like I said, you're tougher for it, and you're better for it. And you know, that mental aspect, like, well, that guy cut me off. Oh, well, at least I'm not in a cold shower right now, you know, and it puts it in perspective.
Now, I don't do cold showers, but yeah. I drink black coffee. So I'm on the doorstep, but no, with what you're saying, it sparks something in my mind. And that's really the heart behind Pursuit of Manliness. It's the reason why I want to reach out to you and the guys that we try to reach out to, is I think, you know, we kind of bought it, at least in America, I feel like we've bought into this lie in the Christian world that a disciplined life is somehow punishment. That if I am living I said last night to our family, they were talking about somebody eating a diet or on a diet. And I said, it is scientifically impossible to be on a diet and not tell everybody. You have to tell everybody that you're on a diet. It's like back in the day, the P90X guys and stuff. You had to tell people that you were doing it. And listen, I've fallen prey to that too. But the point I'm trying to make is a disciplined life is not punishment. I'm sacrificing something now, whether it's 5 minutes of sleep. You know, I keep a large thing of water next to my bed, and that's what I first thing in the morning. That's what I'm drinking when I get up. Just gets me going. I have a rhythm to my day. When that rhythm's off, I know that. But we have convinced a lot of Christian men in America that when you become a Christian, you become a wuss, that we essentially neuter you. And we tell you, you know, Brooke, man, you know how to hunt and do all that stuff. But when you come into our church, you go into our small group, you go into just, you can serve communion. You can be that guy, you know, wear your khaki pants, your polo shirt, tuck it in, you know, And listen, if that's you, that's you. You got to be you. But I think what we're saying is just continually be better. But the point is, God has created us for so much more. And we've bought into this settled idea that, you know, if I become a Christian, I'm good. I don't have to do anything else. If I have a house, then I'm providing. Not necessarily. We found out recently that the government or the world can shut stuff down real quick. And so for guys that go, well, you're being a little irrational, or you look around, you know, Keep your head on a swivel. Things are happening. And maybe hunting isn't for them, but you can go outside. You can do a push-up. What can you do right now with what you got to continually pursue better? And that's what I love about you. That's your mentality, that you have this grit and tenacity that you just seemingly sink your teeth into every day and say, it's not going to be for a lack of effort.
No. And we talk about being soft, being weak. And I think a lot of times you're like, oh, you're, you know, as a Christian, you should be meek and humble. Yeah. You know, one of the things I tell people is like, you stay humble, you be hungry and you get healthy. That's one of the things, like, that's the things, like, mm-hmm. I'm hungry for life. I want to be healthier. It doesn't matter how good I am now. I want to be better. But you know, we just passed Easter, and one of my favorite stories in that whole Easter week, you know, he comes in, we have Palm Sunday. Well, you know, Jesus came in and everybody was, oh, he's so great, you know, and all that. And then you go through, and then he's crucified, and you know, he's raised from the dead, and everybody sees him, and Easter. Well, one thing that I think we miss in that, if you read that whole story, there's a time in there when Jesus goes to the temple and he starts kicking people out. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's that there, you know, he wasn't just, hey guys, would y'all mind leaving? He didn't know. Like, he went in there and like in a, if someone came into your house and started, you know, messing with all your stuff, started, you know, like taking all your kids' toys and taking all, like, you know, all your wife's clothes and just throwing them around. Like, what? Like, you're not going to just like, hey, would you mind leaving? No, you're going to make sure they're gone. And that, you know, that's one of my favorite stories of the whole Easter week that people don't hit on is, you know, the manliness, the masculine, like, territorial, like, oh, I got a little one. And, you know, that masculine territorial thing where Jesus comes in and is like, this is the house of God. This is my house. You're not going to do this. And I think, you know, like, you told me, like, people like, oh, just tone it down. Don't be so manly right now, you know, be soft and be easy. And I think that's really one of those things where, you know, and I think John Eldridge says, you know, like, let the world feel the weight of who you are. And I'm not telling everybody go out there and start buying a bunch of guns. If you want, like, I think it's great. Go buy a gun. I'm not going to turn you down from it, but you know, you don't have to like fall like, oh, now I'm, you know, like, it's like you're talking like, oh, I'm doing P90X or I've got a diet. There's like, oh, I'm a hunter now, or I've got a gun. You know, like, you don't have to mm-hmm. turn into a Second Amendment advocate, but you know that you're prepared and you're doing the things that you can, to make yourself better. And I think that's really where I want to encourage other men is to find those places, find those outlets where you can get better. And where you're going to be able to, you know, if you need to tone it down a little bit, for instance, with you know, my wife with the circus company, there are vegans and vegetarians that work for her, and they will come to our house. Well, you know, it's one of those things like, well, we're having elk that I killed. We're having fish that we as a family caught, but we're also having mushrooms that we foraged. And like, we took video of the kids foraging the mushroom. I mean, my son found the mushrooms. He's like, dad, there's mushrooms. I was like, those are, you know, morel mushrooms. Like, those are chanterelle mushrooms. They're, you know, $50 a pound. So, you know, we fix those up, feed them, and like, hey guys, you know, we've got bacon, we've got elk, we've got fish, you know, we have vegetables from our garden, we have these mushrooms the kids foraged, and they're eating the mushrooms, and then they're like, oh, you mean like this is the elk you went and like you killed this and you walked 20 something miles with this thing on your back to get it back home? Like, and they like the story. And so I'm not trying to like, hey, you know, you need to quit being a vegetarian, but I'm introducing them into like, yeah, you can go out and forage something. you can find dandelions or onions in your yard if you need to spice up a meal. There's things like that you can do, and that's kind of that intro. You can go fishing. Go fishing. You know, that's one of those things that a lot of people, like, you can throw a line out there and you catch something. And you can cook most fish somehow. But, you know, you can catch a fish and eat it. And it's one of those great things, too. It's a great time. You're sitting there. I mean, Jesus had fishermen on his team. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're out there and you're fishing. You just kind of sit there, even if you're with your family. But it's one of those things I found, too, as a father, you can sit there. And I've done it with my dad and my granddad, is you will ask those questions. And you will be able to open that door to your family when you're out there, because you're just sitting there and it's silent. And you all of a sudden you're like, you know, that question will come, or you'll have that question. Hey, Dad, I got a question about this. You know, like, you know, and you'll get those questions, or you'll be able to ask those questions. And just it's really opens that door to that next level of I don't want to say vulnerability, but that next level of just openness, and to where you feel comfortable. You're sitting there by some water. And I think that's one reason why Jesus all the time went to the wilderness. You know, he went out in the ocean. He went, you know, went to the water, and he's like, hey, you know, like, we're out here. It's peaceful. Peace be still, he would say. You know, it's like, it's peaceful. So now when you're out there, like, you have the bravery to step out of the water and walk on the water. When, you know, whenever you may not do that in the chaos of the world. I think that's one time usually the silence we have right now. If we have kids, how much would our kids give for us to be home right now? Like, you know, it's like, oh, we're gone 60 hours a week because we're providing for our family. And now it's like, oh, I'm home. And now how much do our kids want to just, hey, Daddy, can I snuggle with you this morning? Like, they're not going to do that when they're 20.
They shouldn't, right?
No, right.
If they do something, you know, we have a thing called Tribe. It's a discipleship community, and our challenge this week was talking about flags. If your family had a flag, what, you know, and my oldest, I asked my kids, like, what would you put on it? I'm just curious, you know, and my oldest daughter, who's 14, who's been quarantined for a month, who is grieving the loss of her friends and, you know, didn't get her eighth grade dance and didn't get all this stuff that they're supposed to get, said one of the things that she said was a happy face on a house. And I was like, that sounds weird. And she said that because we all like each other and we like being around each other. And I thought that was good from a 14-year-old who has not seen physically friends, who has not left the house but one time to go to the church for 45 minutes. So I think you're right. Being around, you know, more, I've realized in this season, we don't have soccer schedules. We don't have all these things we're running to. Other people are not dictating our time. And I don't know about you, but I've shared with people and they look at you like you're being a jerk, but I'm like, I'm thriving. I'm built for this, you know? And yes, we will go back to some form of normality when this is over, or at least when we can feel like we can get back. There's a lesson to be learned in this. And you hit on two words actually at different times that I think are the dichotomy of Christianity. It's humility and tenacity. So the humility you talk about, you know, finding someone in the church that, you know, could teach you hunting or could teach you taxes. Like, we have a tax guy who could teach you whatever it is. The humility to say, listen, I don't know this. Would you, I'd love for you to, most guys would embrace that. Most guys would say, yeah. Now there's some guys that know, because you might take their sweet spot, honey hole, whatever. But the tenacity side of that says, I'm going after this. And today I'm going to make as much effort and progress as I can. Because at the end of the day, whether you want to, whatever you, and listen, you don't have to have a beard, camo, have an axe, have, you know, a campfire. You don't have to do that to be a man. I want them to hear it. I want you to love Jesus more than anything. But what you do have to resolve in your heart is, I have a divine responsibility given to me by God to provide for my home and to protect them. How do I plan on going about that? If your strategy was, I'm working 60 hours a week, I'm never going to see my family, and we're going to keep buying food from the store, well, God took care of that. If your strategy is, I'm going to protect my family by negotiating with the terrorist in my house that's throwing all my clothes around, God bless you. I don't know what your strategy is, but we have to be proactive to say, I provide and I protect. That is on me. That is non-negotiable.
Yeah, exactly. And I always look back at, say, Jesus, he had his 12. There was a doctor, there's a there's a tax guy, there's a fisherman. You know, you have this range of what's going on. And, but in that, you know, so if somebody was sick, you've got a doctor to help out. You've got, you know, but if you're hungry, you've got a guy that knows how to catch a fish. Mm-hmm. And then you know, you have the range, you have those guys who you see the guy that, you know, says that, you know, the one that leaned on Jesus, you know, like he was probably that kind of like, you know, what we might call it, you know, like that guy that's just kind of a little quieter and he's just, you know, he's not aggressive. Then you've got another guy that's carrying a sword who's ready to chop off somebody's head. And, you know, so you have that range. And I think that you're talking about like finding that one, being humble enough to say, hey, I don't know this. Mm-hmm. And whether it's parenting, you know, in your relationships, or if it's just in life, like I'm having trouble. And it's, you know, finding that granddad, like, look, you know, at church, look, like my wife and I, like, oh, I don't have a clue what's going on. Like something's going on. Like she's just like mad at me because I'm stuck at home right now. Like, you know, call him on the phone. Like, what do you suggest I do? You know, and he could be like, hey, you know, give you some advice, whatever it may be. You know, it's like, I got trouble with my kids. Like, I don't know what's going on. You know, the world's crazy, all this crazy stuff going on. Like, what's going on with my kids? What can I do? And you can call them up and ask them a question. But you can also offer, like I said, be more valuable. I mean, there's in that whole relationship with Jesus, like the guy that's a doctor, he's valuable when in the medical realm, if you will. And maybe the guy that knows all the Jewish laws, he was really handy in that aspect. But the guy that's a fisherman, he's really handy when they're hungry. You know, it's finding where you, like I said, finding where you fit, that tenacity of this is what I am after. I'm going to get it no matter what. And if it's your health, if it's your fitness, if it's learning something, if it's being a better husband, better father, you know, if you want to be a better Christian, you're going to have the tenacity. All right, I'm going to at least 5 minutes a day open my Bible and I'm going to read until something. And that's what I do. I mean, I don't, you know, I'm terrible at plans. I'm ADD, in case you haven't been able to tell yet. But I will, you know, I'm like, somebody's like, hey, let's go on this reading plan together. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I don't mean to be rude or mean, but I'm terrible if you're going to dictate to me what I have to read. And so for me, like with my Bible, I'm like, I'm going to open my Bible to Matthew 1 and I'm going to read until something hits me. And then I may write a little bit about it. And that's going to be my Bible study for today. That, you know, it could be two verses. It could be three chapters until something hits me of what's going on in my world. And, you know, and you can go through the Bible that way. So it's not a set reading plan, but that's a great spiritual discipline. But when it comes to the physical, the mental, you know, getting outside, it's about finding, like you said, the humility to say, please help me. Mm-hmm. And also on the other end, if you know something, being humble enough to say, this is how you do it without saying, oh, look at me. And for myself, I've had that problem of sometimes I don't share enough because I don't want to be the, oh, look at me guy. And I'm finding out that sometimes I have to be like, okay, if people don't know what I'm doing or who I am, I'm not able to help them. And I've had to play that balance of, you know, like you said, being on, you know, being, you know, TV or whatever it is, you're like, oh, like, you know, like it's a kind of that balance of what am I going to do and finding that. And it's being humble enough to say, this is how I can help you. Mm-hmm. Being humble enough to say, can you help me? But also that tenacity of I'm not stopping until I learn this, until I'm better at this. You know, it's like, I'm not a great turkey hunter. I know that. I reach out to my friends that are great turkey hunters. Like, hey, teach me your ways. Mm-hmm. You know, like I can turkey hunt, I can kill one, but I want to be better at it. So tell me how, you know, like, hey, just let me come hang out. Like I'll just hang out and watch you learn what you're doing, how you're doing all this stuff. Cause you're one of the best. How do I do that? You know, and what you're doing here, guys are tuning in because you're giving them great spiritual disciplines. You're helping them spiritually, mentally, and physically through what you're doing to be a better man overall. And that's why we're tuning into what you're doing. And so I think that's one of the things, you just find those guys who are better, just a little bit better than you, and to be, you know, as a mentor to you and to be a mentor to someone else, you just have to be one step ahead of them. You know, I mean, I taught school for a year. all I did was made sure that I knew what I was going to tell the kids the day before. That's, you just have to be a day ahead of them, you know? And so I think that's really what we have to do. You know, like you said, just be tenacious to never give up on what you want, but also be humble to ask, but also to share.
Amy, we say all the time, you know, building better men together. Every man has something to bring to the conversation. Every man, the disciples is a great illustration. Every man, Andrew was so good at going to get people and bringing them to Jesus. That was his gift. I'm going to assume Judas didn't have that gift, but some other guys all brought different. Maybe Andrew was a terrible fisherman. Maybe he couldn't count to five. I don't know, but he could go get humans and get them to Jesus. And I think that that's what we're trying to say here, that, man, everybody has something to bring to that. Everyone has something to add to the conversation. When they do that, we do build better men together, because we all have people who depend on us to get this right. You talk about your kids, your wife. If I am rubbing shoulders with you and I'm having interaction with you, or I'm listening to what you're having to say, the plan is, the strategy is that when I walk back in the door here and the people in that room, that house that count on me, I should be better because of this relational investment. So you have to surround yourself with the right people. If there's the right people, there's also the wrong people. So you have to have that filter as well. One of the things you talked about, and I want to point out that you talk about, you know, showing yourself online, and I've wrestled with that. You know, do I take a picture of myself? I mean, it feels so hokey. But at the same time, you want to bring people in on the story. You know, I mean, if you show up one day and you've lost, you know, all of a sudden you want to do a weight loss thing, I'm like, last time I saw you, you're 300 pounds. I ain't buying into nothing. But if I see you down 150 pounds, I may be like, hey, what's going on with this person? So you got to bring them in on the story. There's such a balance. But I think what you're trying to say, and I think our listeners need to hear, because we all wrestle with this. Anyone that has a social media account, I think, wrestles with this, unless you're just a narcissist, is you can't control the perception of other people. I can't control how you perceive me. You can't control how I perceive you. You just have to be authentic and genuine. And that's what I love about what you're trying to do.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm conscious probably of, the, you know, where I'm at, of how much am I going to show, you know, am I going to show a shirtless picture of like me working out, or am I just going to show me working out, or if I'm going to just show the weights, or, you know, how am I going to do that? And I think that's one of those things, you just have to find that balance of where you're comfortable and also listening to others. You know, if people are like, look, man, you're going a little over the top here, you know, going a little bit over the top. Like that, I think that, you know, you and a Speedo was a little much on that Instagram photo.
Amen. Amen.
You know? Yeah. So I think that you have that balance, but I think it's really important that we're at least, once again, humble enough to share, but also humble enough to listen to others and to, you know, just like, all right, okay, don't be too big for your britches. That's one of those big things, you know, just don't get too big for your britches. And, you know, remember, like, everybody else out there is part of this, you know. I mean, in Philippians, it says, look out for other people as well. I mean, and so, you know, and I think that's one of those things that we really have to do is not only just, well, I'm going to take care of me, make sure that me and mine are taken care of, but I'm also going to need to look out for others and also encourage others. That, and I think one thing that I've really tried to do is remind people that, and it happened to me probably early on in my physical therapy strength coaching world, as I was being around some very high level athletes, but I was also around some of the best coaches and therapists in the world. And I was like, man, I want to do what you're doing. And one of the guys said, you can't compare where I am today to where you are. He's like, I've been doing this for 30 years. That is the reason that, you know, Peyton Manning and, like, you know, Serena Williams comes to my office. There's a reason those people come to me, and you are, you know, working with the up and comers. You're in the minor leagues, or you're in the college, and I have the best of the best coming to me. I've been doing this for 30 years. You've been doing this for three. You know, and he reminds, like, okay, he's like, you can't compare my today to your today. You know, he's like, you just have to compare where you are today to where you were yesterday. And I think that's really what we have to do, is just really look at, how can I get better? Once again, what can I control? What can I do to make sure that I'm better when I wake up in the morning than I was this morning when I woke up?
Absolutely, man. Not for lack of effort. I'll say this. To the listeners, if you're, you know, one of the things when I started, you know, this podcast, I wanted other Christian manly men. I did, you know, I I just had an idea in my mind, almost a Duluth Trading Company feel of, I didn't want the typical, forgive me how this is going to sound, but Ned Flanders Christian stuff. I just didn't. That was not hard to find. I didn't want that. And so what I would do is I'd find a brand, or I'd find an account, or I'd find guys like you, and I'd say, okay, who are you following? You know, so like on Instagram, who do you follow? Who do you engage with? And so what you surround yourself with the right people where you believe God is leading you. You got to be authentic. You got to be genuine. You know, if you meet me in a store, hopefully you get the same guy here as you get there. Same way with you. We've talked about this. But be better. I'll say to my kids all the time, we're better than this. And that doesn't mean we're better than people. We're just better than this. We're not going to live this way. We're pretty real and authentic. You are as well. And that's why, you know, again, that interaction for a couple of years, I said, I got to get this guy. What am I doing? You know, just one of those interactions where you say, that person has something that I want to learn from. And when you learn from that person, as you said, that guy's got 30 years. You just got a snapshot of his life. But God may not call you to ever work with a Peyton Manning, but he may call you to excel with high school athletes or excel in nursing homes or whatever. Be the best right where you're at. And I think as Christian men, if we don't desire to be the best at what we're doing, we're stealing money. We need to go somewhere else. We should want to be the best. We should take great pride in what we're, not be prideful, but take pride in what we're doing. And that goes back to everything we just said here, eating well, you know, what you're putting in your body, you know, even providing for your home. It should say, hey, it is okay to take pride in living a godly life.
Yeah. And I think it's really about making sure you find that focus of what is your purpose? And, you know, it was interesting. I was working with all these professional Olympic level athletes, and I was, you know, living the dream, and I was traveling. I was like, oh, this is so great. You know? And it was funny. I had this almost this epiphany, if you will, where I was in the midst of working with just a local clinic and a strength conditioning seminar. And the guy's like, oh, you got to find your niche and all this kind of thing. And the more I started thinking about it, I was like, if I could work with anybody, it would be my granddad. And my granddad passed away when I was 17. And I thought about it, I was like, if I knew then what I know now, maybe I could have helped him improve his health. He could still be around, or at least at 17 years old, you're, you know, too young and dumb to actually ask some of those questions that you should ask, that you might ask whenever you're 20 to grandpa. And I was like, man, if Papa was still around, like, man, I would be a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better outdoorsman. You know, I would know all the fishing spots that I was probably not smart enough to ask or listen to. But then I realized, like, I can't go back. But what I can do is I can help another grandfather be around for one more fishing trip, one more hunting trip, one more just walk in the woods. And when that's how really the healthy hunter started, I was like, okay, I can't change. My granddad is not, I'm not bringing him back, but I can impact the life of one more kid. If I can impact the life of one more kid that his dad or granddad is around for one more day to be in the woods or on the water with him, that could change that kid's life forever. And no telling the impact that's going to have. Once again, Jesus, if you will, he only, you know, he had 12 guys around him. So you impact 12 guys and look what happens to the world. And so for me, I was like, man, if I can just impact one person so that they have their dad, they may go fishing with their dad instead of going to that party. They may go hunting with their granddad, or they may just go for a walk in the woods with their granddad instead of going to that, you know, this party or that party where they're going to, instead of going to jail, they're going to enjoy the outdoors. And then that's going to change the course of their life, which could change the world. And I may never see it, but that's really what started the whole Healthy Hunter process. But I think it all comes back to knowing who you are, you know, taking that time. And right now is a great time because you've got, you know, not a lot going on. You can just take that walk in the morning. You can just sit by yourself in a quiet room in your house and just think about, like, what am I here for? What means the most to me? How can I make the greatest impact in this world? And then you start with you, and then you work your way out to those closest to you. And then whenever this quarantine's over, then you can start impacting others. And I think that's really what it comes down to. You know, as Healthy Hunter, we're looking at doing a seminar, a weekend class or whatever. We bring like fathers and sons out to teach them about hunting and shooting and things like that. But well, this quarantine's like, well, I don't know if we're going to be able to do that or not. So, but being able to do a podcast or something like that can share that information a little bit, maybe, just even though we're not able to do it in person. But I think just you start with you, and you have to have a clear of this is what I'm all about. This is the way that you do for this podcast. Like, you're like, all right, I'm going to help men be better men for God. Like, just that's, and when you do that, then you're a better husband, you're a better father, and it grows out from there. And that's really what the whole Healthy Hunter process for me was. Like, okay, what do I know? What can I help other people with? And then from there, let it just go out. And, you know, the little pebble that hits the water, you don't know what that wave is going to hit on the other side, but you just have to have faith that you're going to do the work and let God take care of the rest.
Amen, brother. I love it. Hey, real quick, as we begin to wrap up here, where can men get in touch with what you're doing? You know, you have a lot of things going on. I've shared where we've connected, but man, just shout out to yourself. Where can we find, you know, your website, your Instagrams, all those things? Where do they go?
So Dr. Brooks Tiller, DrBrooksTiller.com. That's my website. Luckily, the good Lord only made one of me. So if you just type Brooks Tiller into anywhere on the interwebs, my ugly mug will probably pop up. So thankfully, so that and Dr. Brooks Tiller on pretty much all social media, Dr. Brooks Tiller. And one social media I would like to give a shout out to, if you're interested in anything outdoors, there's a social media platform called Go Wild. And Go Wild, it's a great community if you're wanting to learn about outdoors. You can find people actually that are close to you on that website. It's kind of an Instagram, Facebook-ish, but it's all for outdoors. So if you get on there and say, hey, I live in Indiana and I would love to hunt, someone from Indiana is probably going to find you and be able to connect with you and say, okay, well, I can teach you this. So and it's a great platform, and I'm on there as well. It's just Go Wild. It's an app just like Instagram, Facebook. But for me, Dr. Brooks Tiller on all social platforms. New podcast is the Healthy Hunter Show. It's healthyhuntershow.com, or all the websites would be. And you can always, you know, find it on all your, wherever you find your podcast at. But yeah, just hit me up. I mean, I love to share with other people. I love to answer questions when it comes to health, fitness, outdoors, anything that I might be able to answer. But also I love insights to other people of what they've got going on and how I can get better. If anybody has, hey, I want to learn this or learn that, I would love to do it. If I don't know it, I'm either going to research it or I'm going to find somebody who does. So, I mean, I'd love to just connect with anybody out there who's got anything going on or just wants to learn more.
Brooks, I can't thank you enough for being on the show. You've given us a ton of stuff to chew on. And, man, it was good to finally connect face-to-face, have a conversation with you. So thanks for making time today.
My pleasure. And I would say that, you know, like I said, the Healthy Hunter Show podcast, if you like this show, you'll probably like that one. I'm going to interview folks as well as have some of my own insights to the health and fitness and as well outdoors. But if you did not like this show, you probably won't like the podcast. So there's that.
Thank you for listening to the Pursuit of Manliness podcast. Make sure to leave a comment or question to keep the conversation going. I would also appreciate it if you would share this show with your friends as we seek to build better men together.